This is Sunday, the 3rd of February, 1980, Taos, New Mexico, and we're having a session with Bartholomew. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Good morning.
We were wondering if you would speak to us on the subject of the concentration or dissipation of personal power or power.
I feel that this question is important for one basic reason. I feel that most spiritual seekers are very naive about what it is they are doing. And I mean that in the loftiest sense, that it is very easy to become confused when you pick up various religious tomes and they speak about different aspects and different methods and different manifestations. And somehow in all of this, it is very difficult to pinpoint precisely what is happening. And the fact is that the same thing happens to you no matter what method you follow. The end result and the process that you undergo is the same. And therefore, I would like to clarify, if I might, my perception of what happens to the human vehicle and the mind, focus and so forth, as you move toward what you would call freedom from the illusion. If you had all of the power available to you, tightly, compactly manifest within the physical vehicle, you would be a self-realized. It is a statement of fact. The fact that you are not aware of yourself is simply because they say, the words that they use are, the voice of God speaks quietly. All right, this is something that Christians and so forth would say. Well, what does this mean? It simply means that what I would call the divine self that is always present is not in a compacted form, and therefore it does not keep your attention. It may get your attention at certain moments, and then it is dissipated. Certain moments during meditation for some, certain moments not during meditation for others, depending on the physical vehicle, there are no rules. And therefore, and then it dissipates itself. And then one would say, well, God is further away from me, or however one would choose to put it. All that you are saying is that the focus, the power, the intensity of that energy field is not as powerful as it might be. The sign of a realized being is that the only power manifest in that vehicle at that time is divine manifestation. And this accounts for why some of the great yogis can sometimes be so completely exalted and wise, and at other times are very mundane, ordinary, and misled. Because the power comes and goes. Do you understand? It is a coming and a going, and it happens to all humans until such time as the power is so strong that there is nothing else that draws it to it. For example, you are magnets, if you wish to use another mundane term. And if your awareness is always being built on pulling more of the divine wisdom to you, then that is what you will bring to you. This is why I say keep your lives simple. Because if your lives are complicated, you're going to begin to pull in all kinds of other energies. It is the fact that you pull to you those power fields that are most important to you. So, if you want to build a dynamo for power and wealth and financial understanding and security, this is what will happen to you. If you wish, whatever it is you might, it is what comes to you. All right. If you want to know where your awareness really is, then see what your life is bringing to you. If you want to know what you're really focusing on, then look very carefully, what is your life bringing to you? Because that is what underlying all of your outer manifestations, the deepest movements of your being, are what you are drawing to you at that moment. This is always changeable, understand. Every moment it changes. All right, so let us go back to the basic premise. When I say to you, I want you to build your power, the only thing that I mean by that is, if you keep your awareness in the moment, if you are very carefully in the moment, the only thing you can observe in the moment, if you stay there, is divine creative harmony and wisdom, because that's the only thing that is in this moment. The deflection and the difficulty is that you think there is chaos and pain and sorrow and so forth. That is because you are not perceiving correctly. You are moving either forward or backward. It is a fact that if you stay in the moment, everything is all right. If you do not stay in the moment, then very little is all right. And this is why the only thing you have to keep your awareness on is, what are you drawing? What kind of a magnet are you becoming? And what is happening within your own being? All right, now some people say to me that they want to keep up their old style of living and at the same time move towards self-realization, self-understanding. My answer to that is, that's fine, but you're not going to get a great deal of positive results if you continue with very ordinary, mundane type of life that you have had before. Now, why is this? It is this that humans do not understand. Your habit patterns are so ingrained that when you move into the same situation, unless you are absolutely alert, which very few humans are, you are going to respond in the very same way over and over and over again. This is why you will find that the real seekers usually move themselves out of an environment of some kind or another, either out of their own physical environment, or they change their occupation, or they, whatever. They try and move themselves out of it. And the reason is simply that the patterns are so ingrained, the habitual responses, that you are having to override all of that at the same time. Do you understand me? It is almost overwhelming. But if you put yourself in a new situation and you say, now, a new day, I'm going to be aware and to see what this new environment says to me. I will not speak to it. I will let it speak to me. And I will stay very quietly within myself and listen and see what is that rolls across the plain and speaks to me. Does this mountain really speak, or is that just nonsense? Does the land give to me the beauty and the support that Bartholomew prattles that it does? Is it truth? Find out. Find out. You were here. Find it. Does it speak? Does it care? Does it support? Does it have in it what I claim it has? Find out. Now, to take you back into your old apartments down in other locations, already you have an interchange of communication with that environment. I'm speaking even specifically of the homes in which you live. There is an environmental movement. You understand? You already have a communication going with that. And so now, when you move to something new, something open, then you have this grand opportunity. And this is why so many real seekers make some kind of change. Now, the problem is, many times they just try and change the people in their lives, not understanding that people are one thing, but your environment is very strong. Environmental pulls are very strong. The habituation of seeing things exactly the same way over and over and over is very strong. And therefore, you make choices. It is my experience that most people, if they would go within their being, will spontaneously see what changes in their environment it is right for them to make. In some people's case, they should move entirely out of their occupation, out of their home, whatever it is, they will feel led, is how they would put it, to do such and so. And I would suggest that they do that. Other people will make changes in their relationships. Those that are dependent on their parents oftentimes find themselves moving out. I mean, all kinds of dependencies. Those relationships which they are involved in that they feel is a mutual responsibility and a positive thing, then those things should be looked at now with new eyes. And that is the hardest part. And this is what I say to you. This is why I spoke about marriage last week. And it stands for any long-standing relationship. It's extremely hard to see someone in a new light. But I would like to give you an illustration that I hope will perhaps clarify how I feel about this. If you were to ask the woman with you how her vision shifts when her awareness is filled with the power that you call Bartholomew, he would respond that way. It is as if all of those ego patterns have receded now dimly into the back. And in the foreground, all she can perceive is the beauty of the oneself, of which you are all a part. So when someone comes to her under session and says, please help me with a problem, and the problem is very mundane, understand what she is being asked to do, and this is why it is not well done. She must now move through all of the vastness of that divine self and go into the hazy, now hazy background of the ego manifestation and try to sort out of those vague shadows a specific answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is how the difficulty comes when people who come to me and say that they would like a mundane question answered, It is very difficult because, and this is the absolute truth, I do not see clearly your ego self. Why? The power of expanded vision does not believe in the reality of your ego self. It sees it as shadow. And it is very difficult to put great and abiding meaning in shadow figure. It is, to me, the same as if you are walking across the land and instead of looking at the physical vehicle, you're looking at the shadow that the sun has cast on the ground and asking for a differentiation of detail on that shadow. It is impossible. You see, that it's exactly the opposite. So this is the difficulty. Now, someone who is very attuned to the egotistical level of people and whose job it is to serve on that level will have the opposite. The spiritual qualities, the spiritual embodiments and self will have moved into the background and the ego manifestation will be forward clearly. And they are very capable then of giving differentiated detail about this and that and this is what you should do and I see that your liver needs stimulating and so forth. I mean, all of this will be very clear. But that is not what is in operation here, and this is over and again why we run into this difficulty, and I felt I should bring it forward now so that people who want to have a specific understanding will realize that this is not the proper vehicle for it. It is simply because when she views the situation, all of that is so much in the background. In fact, if you do not tell her specifically the name of one of those shadow figures, she will leave session and not know who it is you are talking about. The answer will come. Do you understand what I'm saying? The movement comes, the answer comes because it is in the moment, but she will not know specifically who, name, form, because she does not need to know. Have I made this clear?
Very interesting.
Do you understand that? Now, I felt this is necessary because over and over we run into the stumbling block of people who wish to have their ego situations dealt with. And it is true that insofar as they are hampering the clarity of the self, I have access to that data and I will willingly answer. Even if it means past life, I can do all of that. If the hallmark is important, if it is to the better understanding and the better freedom of the higher self. If it is not, it is not available. It is a shadow. It is a gossamer movement that moves in the background, behind the stage, and I cannot see it. Now, someone asked me once, I thought with great longing, why couldn't both be done? And I must deal with that directly. The fact is, both cannot be done because a different vibrational quality is necessary to move back into those shadow figures and bring forth the specific answers that you seek. It is not that I would not, with all humility, do that. I cannot do that. What you are asking is for me to change what I am in order to manifest that kind of denser understanding to move into that area and deal with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not that I would not with all love do it, but I cannot do it. It is not that I would not wish to. It is not that I do not yearn at times to be able to do this for you. I cannot do it. And this is why we must make this very clear. It isn't a withholding, it isn't a kind of superior arrogance. It has none of these things. It is simply, I cannot do it. I can tell you certain things that I see will impinge absolutely and directly on the evolvement of your soul life. Yes, I can do that because that's my job. And that will be available to me. But for the rest of it, it is shadow figures, and I cannot read them for you. So you must make sure, anyone hearing this tape, please go to the proper authority. You do not go to a doctor and ask him how to build a house. Please do not come to me and ask me how to manipulate all aspects of your ego life. I cannot do it. If I could, I would. But I cannot. And this needs to be clarified. It isn't because I consider myself so lofty and holy that I will not deign to go into that part of your life. That is not the statement. It is simply that I cannot. It requires a different kind of vibrational frequency than I am capable of using. And therefore, it cannot be done. Not only will they become increasingly unimportant in your own life, but in other people's lives too. People will come to you filled with problems, and you will clearly see, yes, all right, they have a problem because they've spoken to you of it, but through it all, you will not become a cohabitation problem with that. You will see directly it is a shadow figure in some way that you might not even totally understand. You will grasp a feeling that this is an illusion, something that will come and go, and it will part. And it is not the substance of the person. And in that very knowing, you will begin to help them in a way that is much stronger than being able to deal with the problem itself. I hope I'm making this clear. This is very difficult to express. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I just have a small question along.
I would be very pleased. Thank you.
It has to do with the fact that as I feel more free and less free as it goes, that I actually see more insight myself into what, and the way I see what you spoke of, is how community is and how person a better place.
The trouble is,
the small one is a place that's really
difficult
to see that.
Precisely. A prison is built.
Yes. And what I would ask of you then is it possible to see from your vantage those things in the stimulus that are more of an obstacle than others?
Yes. And if that is the question asked of me, I can respond. But my dear friend, it is usually not the question asked. I can only answer the question that you, not you particularly, but whoever, asks of me. And that is not the question that is usually asked. Very, very seldom does someone come and say, and it happens sometimes, but not often, that someone in the midst of a problem comes and says, please, I need to see the obstacle here. What they almost always want is somehow to have the problem be resolved in a way that is pleasing to them. That is what they usually want. Do you understand the difference here? And I cannot help that, because oftentimes the very best thing that would happen to them is to have the whole thing become a great deal more complicated until they just finally say, I have had it with this, and turn their back on it and not ever resolve it in any kind of organized way, but simply say, it is too much for me to deal with. You know, my friends, most major problems are too much for you to deal with, simply because in so many of them, the only answer is to simply remove your awareness and your attention from them and let that energy go on its way. But that is the very last thing that most people want. I say again, you do not realize how attached you are to your problems. They give you a sense of living. And I say, my friends, it's an illusory sense of living. Because real living is the divine in motion. That is real living. And you take these facades, these shadow figures, and pretend that they are the substance, and they are not. So when someone comes, if they say to me, I am in this extremity, please help me to remove the obstacle, not so that I won't have pain, not so that I won't be in turmoil, but so that I will be clear, so I will have the clarity necessary. Now that is a different question. And that question can be dealt with. But that is not the most common question asked. You see, it is always, I'm in pain. Bartholomew, take away my pain. That isn't something I will often do. Why? Because it is the very pain of the situation that has the best chance of bringing clarity. And I will not take that from you, even if I could, which I would not. You know, the laws would not allow me to move in and take your pain away. I'm speaking of emotional pain. If we're speaking of physical pain, there are times that physical pain can be removed and is removed so that the person has a new space of time, hopefully to be used in a different way. If not, believe me, they will find themselves in another period of pain with physical pain manifesting again. There are no rules, and we will make none. It is simply an open understanding that what is needful will be given. Whether the healing comes through a pill from a doctor or from the laying on of hands by a born-again Christian or by somebody looking at you, it doesn't matter. Things come and things go. What we have to understand over and again is if you wish to be free, you must build your power, and the way to build your power is to get within your being and to start pulling that power to you. How do you do that? It's very simple. All you do is keep your awareness on it. Every time your awareness goes into some other field, you are moving away from it. Then someone will say, well, how am I going to build a house? Well, easy. If in the building of a house or in the working of a job, if one is poised in the moment, like the hawk on the mesa, aware that this moment doesn't just encompass this physical, but there is a vastness at work right there under your very hands. There is a vastness right there. And there is no beginning and end to that vastness. And you are in this vast moment, totally aware of what is happening. And it is in that vast moment that what you call satisfaction arises. You know, this is a misunderstanding, I think, of humanity. The artist says, when they have created a great work of art, that they are exalted. I would question that. I think perhaps what is happening is, a great work of art only happens when you are so within the moment that the moment and you are one, and so is the total activity that you are performing, the movement of the brush, the texture of the paint, the color, the hue, the canvas, the air surrounding it, your own aliveness. The whole thing is one, and in that oneness comes perfection, and the exaltation and the beauty and the wonder of the whole moment is there, and that is the exaltation. And then you put down the brush, and you know that a divine moment has taken place, but then the mind says, oh, it is the finished product that exalts you. No, my friend. It is not the finished product. And this is where the human is cutting off the lifeblood of their own oneness with anything. If you wait for the finished product to be exalting you, you are never going to live every moment. Do you understand? If the artist only sees the finished product as the important thing, and it takes him 4 years to create this, then the exaltation from that one moment of looking is simply an egotistical response to something that has already been done in divine wisdom. Do you understand? It is this knowing that in each moment the divine is active and you are an active part of it because you are not separate from it that gives this wonderful feeling of exaltation. And that feeling is available every moment. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. When you are attached to results, you are going to be in trouble. This is the answer to the meditation question. If you are attached to the results of your meditation, you are going to miss the exaltation of simply sitting there. I ask you to not have any expectations about results of any kind, be there meditation or health and nursing or building houses or teaching children. I don't care. If you have no expectations, if you simply say, this is a bold, dynamic, creative moment, and I am one with it, then you begin to live in that very easily said phrase, then you begin to live in the moment. Do you understand? And in meditation, if you could only see that meditation is nothing more than a series of one moment, and in that one moment is all that is needful for that moment, then you will begin to get the feeling of what I mean. You had a question.
As the vibrations flow in and out of Earth, is it better? Are we contributing more assistance to those who work with us it? Can they work with us better? Or isn't that what meditation is about?
At 4 o'clock in the morning, on most parts of the earth plane, it is between 4 and 6 are the times that I assess it. I feel that they are much better for all reasons, not only for your own body, for a normal life. If you work the night shift, then of course we have to have a different regulation here. That would not work for someone working a night shift and getting off the job at 3 and then plopping themselves down in a corner at 4 o'clock. That is not what I would recommend, because they would be still so imbued with the activities of their 3 o'clock shift that we would be fighting against the natural inertia, and another time would be more beneficial. But given most people's lifestyles and when they arise and so on, between 4 and 6 is a maximum time, because everything is more... You see things in the opposite. When the light is here, you think that the lights of the gods are more manifest in the day, because the light is here. In truth, in the darkness, when things are more quietude, then the more dynamic energy fields move. You know this of yourself. You know that, say, at 2 o'clock in the morning, despair comes. There are certain times of the night that despair overcomes humans. Why is that? It is simply because things have quieted down so much that only those very bold bands of energy are at move across the earth plane. Do you understand me? The bold bands of energy, and despair is one of them. And exaltation is another one. Unfortunately, on the earth plane at this time, there is more bold desperation than there is exaltation. But at those hours, the bold bands are the strongest. During the day, then the mind stuff begins to gather its momentum and so forth, you see. And this is why you don't meditate when it's 4 o'clock here. If you were living in India, you don't meditate at the 4 o'clock as it is here. You meditate as the 4 o'clock as it is there. Why? Same thing. Those bold bands of energy are awash on the earth plane with greater power because the others have quieted down. It's all it is. It's just a matter of what is rising and what is falling. So this is why I do recommend between 4 and 6, yes. And what is meditation? You can say many fancy things, but the end result is this. It is a time dedicated to gathering your power. If you meditate properly for a long enough period in the morning and a long enough period in the evening, you will find that you will not dissipate your power during the day. It is very much like recharging a battery. You recharge it and then it works a certain length of time for you. If you do not recharge it, it will die. And so it is with gathering the power of awareness during the early morning. This is why I say people who do not meditate usually end up dissipating whatever energy they have manifested. And I need to speak about this. There is a great illusion, awash, that if you have done great periods of meditation, let's say you have decided to dedicate 2 weeks of your life and so forth, and you do it and you come out and you feel wonderful, and then you go back into the world and it begins to bend. You decide, well, slowly you'll find the one thing you keep giving up is, well, I won't meditate. And so pretty soon it's very spastic. You're not doing it very often, and when you do, it's very unempowered. It doesn't have much to it. There is an idea that all of that power that you accumulated for those 2 weeks is somehow inherently yours forever. Amen. This is nonsense. And if you were awake, enough, you would see in your life it's true. The truth is not. If you spend all of your time dissipating your energy, then that you are working on dissipated energy fields. You have none of your own individual power at work now. You simply are subject to what is awash within your own environment. And that just very, very easily leads you wherever it wishes to. If you do not have your own power, you will be that which is around you. Do you understand? You are only energy fields. This is the problem. You see yourself different than that, but you are only energy fields. And if you have not the energy fields that are surrounding you. Now, if you happen to be in a monastery or someplace where other people are building, hopefully, some kind of positive dynamic energy, then fine, you can work off of that and perhaps keep yourself on a pretty even keel. But if you're not, if you're just in the world, and if the world around you is filled with drugs and liquor and a lot of less than exalted vibrational frequencies, that is what is going to lead you. And you will find yourself doing things, and you will wake up one day and you'll say, this does not seem to me to be me.
Gibson, why am I doing these things? This doesn't seem to be me. And in a sense, it is not you, because what is happening is that you are moving off of the energy fields that are surrounding you. It is very simple. If you could see clearly what you are, you will see. If you have not built it up, you simply use what is around you. And therefore, when you don't know what, this is why I keep saying, please be careful where you go. If you are not building your own energy field and you sit 24 hours a day in a bar, you will, unless you are astonishing, end up with quite an addiction to alcohol. Not because it's particularly your nature. What are you talking about, your nature? You're just saying that the energy field around you that you're feeding off of is one of alcohol. And that's what you're going to start wanting because it's moving through you. It's so simple. It is so simple, and yet it's so easy to complicate it, you see. So, this is why, with all due respect to the nursing profession, I feel that people in nursing professions have to be very clear about their own sense of power, or they are going to start using the energy that is awash in hospitals and so forth. Do you understand? And then they're going to feed off of this, and then their mind will become addicted to illness and the whole problem of illness, and then they will manifest it in their own bodies and so forth, because this is the energy that they're leading off of. This is the thing that they're feeding off of, because they are not building their own power. So when they say, and this is often said, you must protect yourself, you know, when you start talking about things, well, you know, they all say now what you need to do is to protect yourself. What are they talking about? It is so simple. They're just saying, if you have spent time building your own power and opening it up to the vastness of the one God, or however you want to put it, the light forces, put it as exalted as you want, what I would call the divine energy, when you have sat there with that understanding that this is what you're doing, all you have to do is declare that to yourself, that's what I'm doing, and then just sit there in the awareness that that is what you are doing, holding that around you as the object of what you're there for, and that isn't hard to do. That is not hard to do. That energy moves towards you. Do you feel it? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It is irrelevant. The fact is, you are there. It is happening. Whether you are conscious of it or not, you are building your own power focus. That is what is happening. And out of that, then, you move into the hospital or wherever it is you go, and you take, they say you take your light with you. What does this mean? It simply means that your own power is such that you then move with it. It surrounds you, and you feed off of it, and you give of what you have taken in. And that's why some people feel so much better to be around than others. Because when they have built this power center and they go into the world, that's what they're giving. You only give what you've got. And if you've been building it in a bar, that's what you're going to give. If you've been building it in the quietude of your own being, then that's what you're going to give. And so you give of what you are. But eventually, the problem is, eventually, unless you make some kind of a conscious effort to keep that movement alive within you, it will start to dissipate because it's only energy, and all energy is in motion. No energy is static, divine included. It will move out of you, and then whatever is around you will move in, and then you will start manifesting that. Why are afternoons more difficult than mornings? Why? Why? 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Why are people less kind, more edgy, more disgruntled? People say, well, it's because they're tired, they've worked hard. No, I would not say that. I would say it's because the energy that they might have built in their sleep state is now beginning to dissipate, and now they're simply awash in the sea around them of whatever happens to be there. Do you understand that this is what happens to you? All energy moves. So, the question is how to keep yourself as divinely charged as possible. My friends, you know the answer. I don't need to say it, but I will for those who perhaps have never heard it before. If you are in the moment, and if in the moment you are watching the moment and your heart is in the right place, by that I mean that your yearning is for awareness, for freedom, for love of God, if you will, whatever your words might be. If that is your yearning, then that is the energy that is filling you. And therefore, all day, you stay in the charged state, if you wish to put it that way. And your life is not then tiring. You do not become tired. Maybe your physical muscles get tired, yes, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the you-ness of you. Do you feel like you just want to go to sleep because the world is too much and you just don't want to think anymore? That's a sign that you're not using your own power center. that you're just awash with whatever energies are around you. So in order to keep that state of divine power, all you need to do is be in the moment and wanting that. I say again and again, you don't have to do anything. If you stay in the moment and want it and keep yourself open, do you understand by that? Just keeping yourself open to this eternal wonder of instant of God life, then that's what's going to feed you. But if your mind is at work, your mind sets out energy rays, you all know this, your mind is the beacon that brings energy to you. And if your mind is on different things, that's what's going to start, like the magnet, bringing it to you. At the beginning of the path, it is the mind that starts to bring the divine energy in. You know, your hopes, your wishes, your thoughts. You hope that that's why. This is why they say keep, you know, think holy thoughts, because the mind starts the process. But the mind is only one part of it. It's only the beginning stage. And later on, your entire being then begins to encompass that. It can build it. It becomes more powerful. And that's why even in the frailest of bodies, those who are divinely inspired have a boldness about them. A son of God, by that I mean someone who is truly in touch with the divine. However frail the body might be, there's a boldness about their being. I don't mean a brashness, I mean a boldness. Powerful. They could not walk in the room and you not know them to be there. There's a power there, a boldness. And the very flesh may be disintegrating before your eyes, and it won't matter. The power is there, and it is bold, and you know it. And it may disturb you, or it may delight you, depending on where you are at that moment. But you cannot ignore it. Are there any questions?
Would you speak on the saying of the Christ that those who have shall receive more, and those who have not shall lose even that which they have?
Well, that's the statement, isn't it? I feel that's the answer. I feel that's absolutely the answer. People tend to think in terms of material goods, you know, and so forth. And but even if we're going to speak in terms of love, let us say, earthly love, you know, people that are loving to others tend to have more people love them. It's just one of the rules. And people who have a hard time loving usually have a hard time having people love them. It is a mutuality. But in its highest sense, what the Christ meant in that statement is simply what we have talked about.
So there's no such thing as just treading water and staying even. I mean, you're either...
I think there are. There is a little time. I think there would be a little, what we would call a little lead time, where you would probably be in some kind of balance. Yes, I would say there would be a little time, and that would be, for example, if you had spent 2 or 3 weeks in dynamic quietude and so forth, and then you put yourself down in the vast city and life was back to its normal pandemonium, I would say that there would be a while there perhaps that you could keep yourself above it all, but you would find yourself day by day by day slipping back down until the point is that you were back where you started from. This is why, my friends, except in very specific cases, I do not recommend long periods of quietude. I instead recommend every moment being used at maximum and living the life as simply as you can, but keeping doing whatever it is needful for you to be doing, but at the same time keeping your awareness dynamically poised within your being. Sometimes it is needful for people to break out of a lifestyle and to go into a place of quietude so that they can realign their priorities. I think the problem is priorities are very greatly jumbled. And other people's priorities can tend to lead you one way or another. And they may not be your true priority at all. But you would become confused. Again, it goes back to whose power center are you working off of? An enlightened one has no power center of his or her own. An enlightened one is working off the power center of the divine boldness. And it's infinite. Infinite. Exactly. Because that's what you are.
So, my thought that I have to sit maybe optimally at 0400 to 0600. So those who are bringing it to me can more effectively bring it is not accurate.
No, it is not accurate. But at one stage of development, that is a very helpful way to place the words. Do you understand? As you become more and more aware of your own inner wonder, then you realize that that inner wonder is ever with you, and there is no time or space necessary. It is only in the beginning stages when people are so separated from their own inner wonder that they think in terms of others bringing it to them at specific times of the day. Now, these are gimmicks. We will be very frank with you. These are simply gimmicks. Certain people's minds are greatly attuned to that kind of gimmick. We use it. We will use anything. Someone accused me once of being unethical, and I said, I don't mind. I don't mind if it brings you freedom. I will do anything if it will bring you freedom. I am not bound by your law. I'm bound by one law.
Which is?
The law of the one, which encompasses, in your words, love, service, wisdom, all these fragments. There's only one law, and it knows in each instance the rightness, and it is not bound by any law that is conjured up in the mind of man. It knows the instant that an occurrence happens what is maximum, and that is the only law it lives by. This instant, what is the maximum, and it does it. And it gives no thought to how will people feel about it. Oh, do you think they will still love me? I don't care if you love me. I care very much if you are free. You can hate me if that brings you freedom, then I would embrace your hatred. I don't care. The only thing I do not want is you're not caring enough to have either feeling for me. That bothers me. Because, not because I care one whit what you think of me, but it means that the divine power is not moving in your life. Whatever you feel, if it's bold, I applaud it. I have no rule for what that might be.
Luther said once, if you're going to sin boldly.
Yes, well, that whole idea being that when one does really get into something and is doing it boldly, one comes to an understanding of what it is. Lukewarm anything brings lukewarm nothing. You're not going to get anywhere with lukewarm feelings.
Yes. It has to be done to me so far, but I can't have generated so little on my own. But I still have to give a message.
That is... please understand that the fact that you would express it in the way that you have to have things done to you is, I think, a very common misunderstanding. And many of the spiritual books aid and abet this misunderstanding. And it's simply because at a certain level of understanding, that is meaningful. You would say, of course I don't have anything. I know myself very well, and I don't have anything. Therefore, somebody has to give me something. Well, the truth is, the first statement is false. You do not know yourself very well. If you knew yourself very well, you could not make the second statement, which is that you have to have things done to you, or for you, or in any way change things. Everything is there. I say again and again, there is nothing that you need that is not absolutely continually available to you. It is simply that you're not used to using what's yours. You're used to taking, you know, from others. Why not?
Oh, well, maybe that has been right.
Why not? You see, at one state of your understanding, you must realize that you really do think you're two people. If you're looking carefully at yourselves, you will think you are two people. Or higher self and lower self. You will always see this for a while. In the state of understanding, you will cast it in these two things. And then the lower self does certain things, and then the higher self scolds you for doing these other things. And this gives you a schizophrenic kind of a perception. But it is very normal. Now, at the beginning of the path, people don't, they only see themselves as one. They don't say of themselves as a higher self. They only know one self, which is whatever the ego wants, the ego gets. And if it doesn't get it, it gets angry, and so forth. That's the one level. Then you start moving into spiritual awareness, and you begin to see yourself in a strange way as having two selves. And then there comes a time when, with repeated looking at this phenomenon and knowing that somehow that's not right, because if I were to ask you very clearly, do you really think there are two people in you? You would say, no, I don't really think that. But my mind puts this out to me, and the books all would tell you that there's these two problems, and using words, people use higher and lower self. All right. Then there's the next stage, when there's the vast self, and then there's the ego. That's again a separation. All right. All of that is absolute nonsense. There's no truth in it at all. There's no truth in it at all. The true thing, which you will see, when the time comes and everything is opened unto you, you will see that in some way that you cannot understand now, There's only one. There's simply only one. And that everything has always been absolutely all right. Everything has been absolutely all right. You cannot... Excuse me.
This is the question I was going to ask. And the reason I tend to have that same problem myself with China. And the reason that I have it, I think, is my ego does something that utterly I know are completely contrary to the direction I want to go. Yeah. And in fact, sometimes it'll be perhaps petty, very petty, very egocentric thoughts, usually related to judgment. And I know, or a part of me knows, that this is entirely ridiculous, cut it out. This is only dragging you in a direction you do not want to go. And the success that, if there's been any success, I would say the success I've had is to say, that is not me.
Yeah.
And then let it ramble.
All right. Would you like me to clarify what's happening?
Please.
Go back to the early days of our talks together, when I spoke of the movement of the incrustation on the eye, going around and around in its habitual pattern, going through its own motions and movements, all right? What you are experiencing when you say that there are two of you, the ego self and the vaster self, what you are really experiencing is there has come a separation between the two. At the beginning stages, you are only the eye. And the movements of the eye are absolutely all-encompassing of your interest and your awareness, and you don't see anything else. And people would say, I do this, I do that, and they would really mean it. Then comes the stage that you're talking about. Now you say, there is this other propelling force that does all of these things, and then there's this otherness. All you can say, really, is there is an otherness that senses that this is not the nature of the otherness. Now the judgment comes, my dear friend, when you say, I'm doing something wrong, and that the otherness is going to somehow judge against what I've done. Do you understand? The otherness is not judging. The otherness is not judging anything that you're doing. As these movements continue on the incrustated eye, all you are experiencing at this time, and so many of you are in this state, is that the movement of the eye is beginning to slow down, and it slows down slow enough so that you can see it. And otherness is observing. That movement, that motion of the eye that continues to go on its old form and do its old thing is not anything so interesting as it used to be, but it still has its own momentum and you still are observing it and it is still what you would call a part of you, all right? Understand, my friend, that is part of the process. As this eye tends to move less and less because you pay less and less attention to it, it will slow down and you will see relentlessly what is on that eye. You will see it. And the otherness, which I would choose to call awareness, views it. Now, my friend, when you move from the non-judgmental stance of awareness and become judgmental with the eye, you are joining the eye self, because that is the only place that judgment rests, is on the eye. Do you understand me? If you are entrenched in awareness, there is no judgment. There is only observation. It goes on. And my friend, it will go on. Understand, again and again we go back. I am not asking that you all live absolutely pure, holy, exalted lives. I don't even know what those words would mean. I'm only asking that the vast awareness of otherness be the viewer of the movement of the egocentric eye. And as you view it, more and more, you will understand that you are now becoming deeply entrenched in that of the observer, and those activities of the eye, although they continue, they are not you. They are not you. And when you observe that totally, then it is really as if you sit in the audience and watch the play. The exalted ones still watch the movements, but they know one thing you do not know. They know utterly that they are not that. Utterly. But they are not that. And they observe it. And it isn't something apart from them, separate floating out in the nothing. What they know now is that all of it is of a oneness. It's an encompassing feeling. The reason that the movements of the eye are discomforting to you is because you have a judgment set against certain actions. And I would ask you to even observe that. When judgment is going on, allow judgment. But be the observer of that judgment. It must happen this way. It is not possible to slow down the movement. Do you understand what I mean by slowing down the movement of the eye? The less energy you get, you give to that, the more that wheel is going to lose its own movement and it will slow itself down. And the problem with slowing it down, and I have had many people who have said the same thing, the reason that they leave the path is as the wheel starts to move, slow down, you see the faces on it much clearer. Something that is moving, a propeller that is moving with great rapidity, you cannot see any bugs that have adhered to it, any dirt, any grime. You only see a phantasma of movement. But let that propeller slow itself down, and when it comes to a dead stop, you will see clearly all of the debris. And this is what humans do not want. When you start slowing that wheel down, you will see the face and structure of the debris that the ego has been creating. And it is this point that you must be able to be the observer of it. And the gift, if you wish, of the gods is that you will never slow it down sufficiently to observe it closely unless you are grounded in awareness. Do you understand? That is a gift of the gods, because if you could slow that wheel down and would keep your same self of judgment, you would kill yourself. Make no mistake. Do you understand? Am I making this clear?
I think so.
If that wheel would stop to such an extent and you still had your own sense of self and judgment and right and wrong and virtue and merit and all of this, and you would see what you have created, you would not be able to stand. You would either leave your mind, by that I mean go into a form of insanity, which is just an unbalance that removes you from the scene, or you would choose to end your life, because you would not be able to stand it. But as it moves down slowly, slowly, at that time it slows down not because it of its own will has slowed down, but because you are now becoming more ingrained in the field of the observer. And in the field of the observer, you know full well that there is no such thing as the reality of the movement of that wheel. It becomes less and less real, less and less, less and less. And therefore, you can look on it, and you will not feel the bridge of attachment that will rise up and grab you. You will simply observe it. And that is the gift of the God. This is one reason I do not approve of psychedelics.
Could this be linked to cross-sex? I don't know a lot of letters of this moment of death, of the view that a person must take.
Very good, yes.
And that moment may lie and turn out to me.
Exactly. For freedom. Because if viewed from the position of the viewer and not the participator, which is what really happens at the moment of death. You are not the participator. You are aware that you are the viewer. At that moment, if you can keep yourself grounded as the viewer and do not make the leap to participate in the dramas, you will see in the last moment. This is why I say again and again, at the moment of death, you have the final chance. And if you stay grounded as the observer of the drama that passes before you, you can be free of it. But most people want to re-experience. Do you understand? They want to re-experience. They want to become a part of that again. And they will see some part of the drama that makes them feel guilty, and their guilt will move out. Or they will feel some part that made them feel particularly exalted, and they want to move out. So if you can stay grounded in your own being as the observer, and as you pass out of this life, which is what's happening, and the view is shown to you, if you can keep that stance, you will be free. This is why there's always hope. There's always hope for freedom of clarity of vision, up until the last. Because at that moment, it's all there. and we can view it
as the observer
and say, oh, I see. Well, who is it? Who is the I that is seeing all this? If I is seeing it, then my God, that's not me. If I am seeing it, and it's all of this before me, then there must be some truth to this fact that I am not that. Oh, my God. If I'm not that, then who am I? And at that moment, the only burning question of who am I, all of that is obviously not thou. And who are you? The answer is obvious, because it's the only thing you ever have been. But if you leave the point, this is why I say please do your homework before you die, because if you have stayed centered in your own awareness, then that is possible. If not, you will form a bridge, and you will try to relive, re-experience, re-regret, re-exalt whatever is going on as the drama. Before. And the minute that bridge is made, then you've lost the moment. Then the freedom is not possible. Because you have identified with the script and with the screen, and you must go back into the drama again.
I once had an experience in the last when I disappeared in 5 years.
Yeah.
Right? And no force for me, nothing. I could call anything.
Right.
I just simply went out everywhere.
That is true perception.
Does it
mean? Well, you see, there are all kinds of levels of observation, and you are, if I might say, the human eye shows the grossest. It shows the most, the heaviest. That's what's filled with the most dross. And as your so-called spiritual vision gets better and better, what you will see is that there's less and less form, and the form even that you can vaguely make out is still awash so much that if you keep your awareness on it soon enough, even that form will begin to dissipate. And all that means is that you are one. Again and again, we go back to the same statement of fact, which is that you are one with all of the energies that have ever moved. And the problem is that spiritual people do not want to be awash of the negative energies. They just want to be awash of the positive ones. And this is why I say you will never be free till you accept the totality of energy and allow it. By that I mean simply observe it. And that's what happens at the end. The man who is free knows that there is no self to be awash. You are simply that. Energy moves, and your awareness is a part of that, and thus moves also. There's nothing really more that I can say, because it's an experience that you have to undergo. But there is no name, and there is no form. There is simply movement. And not even movement, but how else can I speak to you? There is disappearance, but in the disappearance, that is a deceptive word too, because something is there. Exactly, but something was there. Not person, but a knowingness. And it is the knowingness that one today is with. Because that's all it is all about anyway.
I don't know these things that in the samadhi, what is it that meant?
Yes, of course. The state of samadhi is the transcendence of seeing self as an individualized human entity with name and form and mind. And many people can achieve the state of samadhi, and the problem is, of course, to make it so that it is a continual experience. I think you would agree that it would be very hard to live your life daily under those circumstances. And this is why it is a gradual process. In fact, should you be placed in this instant in real freedom without any kind of a lead-up, I doubt that it would be a great service. That's why it comes in flashes, and then flashes again, and then longer periods, and then a knowingness takes over your being. And all of these things come in their own way, and they change for each person. Are there any other questions?
Because that's what occurs to me, is that I don't see how we can not assign any purpose to life. Life is beautiful. And point and get in touch with that, and it's obvious it's part of the process.
Exactly. Life is. Exactly. Exactly. It is only, the only time that life becomes a burden is when one has decided what life should give you. If you have decided that life should give you certain experiences and it is not giving you these, then you will be unhappy. Or if you have decided that life should not give you certain experiences and you're getting them, then you will be unhappy. The only way I see for a human to live life at its fullest is to just stand in the midst of life and allow it its own life and be a participant with it in all the fullness of whatever that moment has to offer, making no statement about this is what I want and this is what I don't want, simply participating fully, boldly, if we could, in each moment, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, to be boldly participating in it. And then when that bold moment is finished, moving to the next bold moment. Yes? Would you be more specific, please?
So, to me, it seems that awareness brings the fullness of life, and it also brings promise.
You have hit on it. It is through awareness. See, the gods have tricked you. The gods have said, if you will practice awareness, you will get something. And the further along you go, you'll realize that that is a trick. That awareness itself is the end. It is awareness that is the end. And that is available each moment. Do you understand what I mean? But they've tricked you because humans want end results. And I told you, we are unscrupulous. We will say anything you will work with. And if we say you do this and so, and then down the road this will happen, we'll say it. But the fact is that awareness is the answer. Not in the future time, but in this moment. Properly understood, properly experienced, each moment is heaven, because each moment is awareness. But those are words until you experience. So we send up goals. Do this, little ones, and this will happen to you. You will get your chocolate cake. The fact is that the doing of anything is heaven on earth, if you're using awareness. And I think that's an incredibly wonderful gift. There's nowhere to go, and there's nothing to do. I think we've gone on quite long enough here. I'd like to thank you both for coming.
Thank you, Bartholomew.